Blessed are the poor. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Hard to believe, isn't it? What is Jesus even talking about? Well, Jesus is in a long line of prophets. And you'll remember when the prophets get upset, when God tells the prophets to speak to Israel, the majority of the times he's saying things like, "You're not tending to the poor, the widow, the orphan, those who have no way of taking care of themselves." And Jesus joins that line of the prophets, but he says, "Blessed are those poor." And just to get an idea about it, he's not just talking about the people who we know who have to work two jobs just to get along, right? The folks who can, we'll talk about Walmart for a minute. You know, they can go to Walmart, but they've got to work two jobs, so they can go in and they have to be careful about what they buy and what they don't buy. They have to watch and pinch pennies and all that stuff, right? We know people like this. We actually know and respect the fact that they work so hard in order to put money, to put food on the table, right? And although Jesus would bless them, I'm sure, that's not who he's talking about. You know who he's talking about? He's talking about the guys outside of Walmart. When you drive up and they're asking you for a handout, those who are begging, that's who Jesus is saying is blessed. So in ancient times, in the time of Jesus, it isn't even about the fact that they don't have money. That's part of it. But there is this thing called social poverty. Another way of saying it is just honor. And that is its own currency. And it's really important. So, in the ancient world, when somebody went into Walmart who had worked two jobs, right? They were honored. Just like here, you know, the greeter at Walmart would greet them and say, "Come on in, yeah, nice to see you, come in. You need any help? You need anything?" But in the ancient world, the guy standing outside who was begging would not be welcomed into the Walmart. I'm not saying Walmart does that now. I'm just saying in the ancient world, that's the point, right? They wouldn't be honored to come in and say, "Come on, let me help you. What do you need? What are you looking for?" They simply wouldn't. That greeter at Walmart would become a bouncer. "You're not welcome here." That's the folks that Jesus is talking about. The hoplatoi. Sounds like you're spitting at him, right? I think it's onomatopoeia. Is that what that is? Onomatopoeia? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. Right? The people that would be spit upon. That's who Jesus is saying will be blessed, are blessed. And most of the time, you and I aren't in that group, right? That's not us. And usually, and I think every other time that I've read this text, I always want to think, how do I get to the blessed part when I know I'm so much on the woe part, right? Woe to you who are rich. Woe to you who are laughing now. Woe to you when everybody speaks well of you. Pretty much most of us, right? And I always struggle, like, how do I get over to the blessed part? Yeah. It seems to me that in these days, we Lutherans have been giving a bit of a blessing. Because, folks, did you know that we are wiring or laundering money, yeah, through all of our social service stuff?
Oh, good.
Huh? That's all right. So now we're beginning to see a little bit of it. All right. So people are, our social capital has really gone down. Our stock has gone really down. Right. Oh, we still got money. Don't worry. That's not the issue. Right. But But our social capital has really gone down right now. Right? People are looking at Lutherans like, And I gotta tell you, I am so sad to report this, but even the president of the Missouri Synod, our brothers and sisters in Lutheranism, wrote this really bad letter. It kind of threw us under the bus, the VLCA and its social service stuff. We used to have social capital. Do y'all remember the movie Gran Torino? Right? Clint Eastwood. Great movie. You got to get through a lot of stuff. Clint Eastwood plays the character of this racist man in a community that's transitioning. So there's African Americans, there's Latinos, and next door is an Asian family, and they're among family from Southeast Asia, and he confuses them. Well, they came from China originally, but anyway, he's mad at all of them. He's an equal opportunity racist. He just hates them all. But this Hmong family sort of gets under him. They get to him, right? And he starts to really appreciate them. There's a young woman there who's one of the main characters. And anyway, Clint Eastwood is talking to her, and he's just real frustrated. He said, how did y'all get here anyway? What are you doing here? Why are you here? And she says, I don't know. Blame the Lutherans. Right? I mean, when you're named in a major motion picture like that, that's capital, right? That's honor. That's like, blame the Lutherans, because in fact, the Lutherans were teamed with federal and state and city and officials, and they were really instrumental. Lutheran Immigration Services was instrumental in bringing the Hmong people who were being persecuted in Southeast Asia and Laos and Vietnam, and brought many, many over. Right? And it was this team effort between the federal government, city governments. There are certain cities that just have, I think Fresno, California is one, Minneapolis, St. Paul is one, and Wisconsin. There's different places where they, so, right? That's so cool. And we had this, I mean, the Lutheran Church has been doing this since the late 1800s, bringing folks in, right? And in cooperation with our government. And I'm going to tell you, that has been very frustrating to me over the years, because they actually will not help people from nations that our country won't let them help. So in the 80s, when people from El Salvador and Guatemala were coming up here, trying to get out of that horrible place at the time, civil war everywhere, oppression, oligarchy, the whole business, fleeing there. So I was working with immigrants then, and I said, the Lutheran Church, we're great at this. Went to an office, Lutheran Immigration Services, and then laid it out. I said, we're doing this stuff. The Salvadorans are coming through. We're helping them get to Canada. What, can you help us? And they said, absolutely not. What do you mean you can't? And they said, we can't. Our hands are tied. We take federal money. We can't help. We can't help people who are coming from nations that our federal government says are friendly nations to us. I found that absolutely absurd. Which is why I find it absolutely absurd also that people would accuse them of doing stuff with the money that wasn't meant to, that it wasn't meant to. Because I know better. So, okay, but now here we are. We are able to, we are now being accused of these things. So here is the thing. Blessed are you when people revile you and speak falsely about you. And it isn't, it doesn't say, it's literally, and cast your name out on account of the Son of Man. So that
your name becomes like an evil spirit that has to be cast out. Remember, Jesus is often accused of being in league with the devil. You know, he casts out demons by the power of Beelzebub. So, we are in really good company here. And for us, and this is really the first time I've ever felt like the Beatitudes were actually good news. Because when this happens to us, what are we supposed to do? Put our heads down and sulk and complain? No. Leap and be glad. Be joyful. This is what they did to the prophets. You're doing okay. You're doing what you're called to do. This is great. Rejoice in this. Don't put your heads down. Rejoice. It feels kind of weird to be on that side of it, doesn't it? But that's what Jesus is saying. And I will say this. I always thought that these blessings and woes were like set in concrete, right? But I think it's a lot more fluid than that. It really is. I mean, here we are. One minute, everybody's speaking well of us. The next minute, we're being accused of being money launderers. When we started our vigil in 2001 after 9/11, when we first were up out there by the post office, everybody was like, "Oh, we're so glad! Yes, oh yes, vigil for peace! Absolutely, we need peace. This is great. Way to go!" And then the United States invaded Afghanistan, and in that moment, we went from "Way to go! This is great. We need peace" to "What are you people doing out here? Not supporting our troops, huh? Get off here. We're fighting for your freedom to stand out here," etc., etc. So we went from being honored to being dismissed. But over time, as Afghanistan became such a big mess, those same people would come back and say, "Oh, you know what? You were right. This is a mess." And then we had honor again. And then we invaded Iraq. And then we were down again. Okay. So it isn't necessarily that we changed anything. It's that the atmosphere around us changes, doesn't it? So sometimes we can be the people who have honor, and sometimes we're the people who are put down and shamed. And I think that fluidity for me is very freeing. Because it's like, okay, I don't have to jump after, like, feel guilty or feel down or feel anything at all of these emotions. Instead, it's just that this is the reality of the world we live in. Jesus is very clear about it. You will be honored. You will be shamed. Hold on to me. Hold on to me. And in all of those things, you know, Jesus isn't saying, "I hate rich people." He's not saying, "I hate it when you guys get honored." He's saying, isn't it that thing that we say at the end? Honor all people. And don't be swayed by their honoring or not honoring you. Let God be the one who honors you. Let God be the one who tells you who you are. Because if you're chasing after all this other stuff, you're not going to catch it. And if you do catch it, it will be a consolation that you really, that isn't very satisfying. But let your identity sit and stay in Jesus and what Jesus says about you. and then the world can swirl around you. And honor and shame will not sway us from doing and being who we are called to be. Those who love, those who tend to the most vulnerable, those who are ourselves vulnerable. That's where we're entering. And Jesus says, in that day, be joyful. Weep for joy, like John the Baptist in the womb of Elizabeth. Because that's what they did to the prophets. And now they're doing it to you. Welcome home. Get on in here. And be glad. Being welcomed by Jesus.